The pre-war militarism of the Kaiser's Germany survived largely unchanged after 1918. Political culture and everyday life in the 1920s were marked by the ubiquitous presence of paramilitary groups. Armed street fighting and killings became customary channels of political struggle. The memorial to the fallen of the First World War in the Hofgarten, which was inaugurated in 1924, was repeatedly used by right-wing circles as the backdrop for nationalistic and anti-democratic commemorations.
The upper and middle classes of 1920s Munich embraced a number of different milieus. A conservative Catholic urban bourgeoisie, nostalgic for the monarchy and holding Bavarian separatist ambitions. A progressive liberal business elite that was able to identify more closely with the democratic reforms. And finally, numerous other social groups that found common ground in their resistance to modernization and in their nationalistic mindset. Dr. Elisabeth Tvorek is director of the Munazensia, an archive devoted to the modern literature and history of the city of Munich. In her literary research, she has studied in depth the role of the petite bourgeoisie and the way it was portrayed in the literature of the time. Well, craftsmen, clerks, but also the self-employed, who were afraid of becoming part of an underclass, for what really counted was their mentality. We know now that it was exactly this class that brought Adolf Hitler to power. He was elected after all. There was no putsch. He came to power quite legally through elections. I always was interested in this mentality. I have filtered it out from many, many novels by Graf, Feuchtwanger, Horvath and Marie-Louise Fleißer. And it quickly became clear that it really was a mentality that was about jostling for position, born out of a fear of falling in the social hierarchy, but also from a kind of underlying authoritarian structure. From the desire to have someone beneath oneself, to wish to tread on the mortals and bow to the gods, so to speak. And of course, people were also concerned about security and their identity as Germans. People wanted to be among their own kind and to share any money that was there only with their own.
Liberal and progressive intellectuals like Bertolt Brecht, Leon Feuchtwanger or Ödön von Horváth could not bear this atmosphere and moved to the more cosmopolitan capital city, Berlin. The economic stabilization of the 1920s calmed the political atmosphere for a while. For many people, modest prosperity returned, and restaurants, such as the elegant Café Luitpold, were once again patronized by affluent customers. Hitler's rise to power was based on support from two quarters. On the one hand, by agitation in the beer halls, underpinned by the violent street battles of the SA, and on the other hand, by the protection of influential patrons and admirers in better social circles. Indeed, it was only the financial support and social protection of these circles that made possible the rise of the Nazi Party and its single-minded advance to power.
Hitler began to gain access to exclusive homes and salons early on. His contacts with influential and wealthy members of Munich's elite, such as the publishers Hugo Bruckmann and Ernst Hanfstengel, or the piano manufacturer Edwin Bechstein, paved the way for Hitler's political advancement. Furthermore, the ladies of high society, such as Elsa Bruckmann and Helene Bechstein, vied for his favor, and Richard Wagner's daughter-in-law Winifred later became an enthusiastic supporter of the Nazi movement. It was also in these circles that Hitler met his later personal photographer Heinrich Hoffmann, who was one of the key figures responsible for Hitler's public idolization.
At the end of the 1920s, donations from industrialists allowed the party to purchase the elegant Palais Barlow on Briennerstrasse. Hitler had the building converted to serve as the party's prestigious headquarters, which became known as the Brown House. Now continue to the Platz der Opfer des Nationalsozialismus, the square commemorating the victims of National Socialism, and listen to Ernst Gruber, who experienced the Nazi era in Munich as a young Jewish boy.